praise you, Father. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, first of all, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we do thank you for that anointing that's present here tonight. That anointing that's always there. That anointing that saturates us. That anointing that changes us in an instant. We thank you, Father, for that. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad. We thank you as they're getting some rest and relaxation. Father, we thank you that you're just helping them and you're just filling them back up and getting them ready to go. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, first of all, I do want to welcome all of you that are watching us online at Facebook Live or rhema.tv. Like I said, it's such a thrill that with technology, how we can deliver a message around the world from this one place. And, you know, never really thought that, you know, a number of years ago, whenever we didn't have remote controls and things like that, that would ever be a, you know, we could ever do that kind of thing. Also, we do want to welcome, we have a number of our Rhema ministers that are international directors from our Rhema schools from around the world, and they're here actually this week. They're having meetings and just talking about what God's doing around the world. We're getting refired, refilled up, and ready to reach this world. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, actually, you know what? Most of you probably realize that every time I go to minister, I always pray the same prayer. Any of you ever realized that? Maybe three of you. Maybe you're not listening. I don't know. And it's, you know, I always pray the same prayer, basically the same prayer. And it's just something the Lord has laid on my heart to pray every time I minister, and I do. But the first part of the prayer is I pray that each and every one of you will follow God's plan and his will for your life. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, God's plan and will for your life. If you have your Bibles I shouldn't even ask if you have your Bibles, because everyone has some kind of device, and you know, and there's a free Bible app on there. So turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. A lot of you probably know this verse. I know that number of people, when I've heard them ask, well, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? And this was one of them, mainly because I guess it's about them. Jeremiah, or it could be about them. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now that's pretty good. But do you realize that this was given by the prophet Jeremiah to the Israelites that were exiled in Babylon? Now, when they were there in Babylon, they kind of wondered why they were there. How come they're not back at their home? What are they doing there? Is this God? Is this not God? Why? You know, and it's interesting that the word of the Lord came to them saying, "For I know the plans I have for you." You know what? God knows the plans he has for you. Now, it doesn't mean that you're always going to know the plans he has for you. Now, you might know a piece of the plan, but you won't know the full plan. In fact, my grandfather always said, if God would have told me in advance what I would have been doing, I would have never done it. Because first of all, you would have never thought, well, I'm not capable of doing that. And that's why God doesn't reveal the whole plan to you of your life. You know, at 18 years of age, if he was going to reveal to Billy Graham what he was going to do, he would have thought, oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. How could I do this? And the thing about it is, God usually only gives you a little bit of the plan at a time. But what he wants you to know is that he has a plan. You know, and sometimes when it seems that, man, how am I following his plan? Because, you know, I'm frustrated and things don't seem to be happening. And, you know, I thought I'd be further along. You know, first of all, you have to quit thinking. That's the hardest part with following God's plan, is your brain. Because a lot of times, you know, we're thinking. You know, if we're thinking, then that's not following God's plan. Because he said he has a plan for us. If he has a plan for us, then that doesn't come from your thinking. It comes from you following. Following the inward witness on the inside. Not from following your brain. Because if you were going to follow your brain, you probably would have got messed up a long time ago. Probably some of us have got messed up a long time ago and then had to get back on the right trail. And I tell you what, you know, it's no fun to be on the wrong trail, to be out in the wilderness. I mean, I know a number of people who have told me, you know, some of our Bible school students have said, well, you know, the Lord has been leading me to come to Bible school for so many years. And I just kept ignoring it, and this kept happening, and that kept happening. And now as soon as I fall into that place where I'm supposed to be, everything starts going good. You know, it's awesome to follow his plan, but notice that his plan, they're good. All right? And they're not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I mean, you know, God's plan for your life is a good plan. And I have found out the one reason that we don't follow God's plan, or the biggest reason, well, I should rephrase that. The biggest reason we don't follow God's plan for our life is because of the devil. That's the biggest reason. Because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy God's plan for your life. But one of the biggest reasons why, besides the devil, why we don't follow his plan is because of frustration. We get frustrated. Or in the world that we live in, you know, the ADHD world, we get bored. Like, surely there has to be something else. Surely, you know, there has to be something else. You know, but, man, God has things under control. Amen. Let's look at a few more verses. Actually, Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37. I read this verse a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. And for time's sake, I'm going to just go ahead and read that. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 from the New Living Translation. And all my scriptures today are from New Living Translation. Remember, you know, I always say because it's new and living. Another reason why is because it just makes it easier not to switch translations, all right? So, but I've been reading a lot from the New Living because, you know, some of the things, I've been getting a different insight or a new insight that I hadn't seen before, reading from a different translation. Anyway, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Well, first of all, you have to know you're godly. Now, if you're ungodly, he's not directing your steps. And that's maybe one of the reasons you're having trouble. You're being ungodly, and he's trying to get you to be godly again. All right? But he directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You know, the Lord's going to direct your steps, and sometimes you feel like you might stumble, but you're not going to fall. Because the Lord is going to keep you upright. All right? He's going to help you. He's going to lead you. You know, like I said, if you read the King James, it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Your steps are ordered of God. All right? He's going to direct them. Now, if he is directing them, once again, you're not thinking in your own mind of what you're going to do. You're letting him show you what to do. Now, when he's directing your steps, you know, many times in life, he points us to a place. All right? And if he doesn't point you to another place, then what do? You stay in your place. You're like, yeah, but what am I doing in this place? Well, it's not for you to know what to do, because maybe you're in the place to, you know, because he's developing you in this place. I know many of you have came here to this church because you came as a Bible school student. Some of you, you came and you stayed. Why? Because he directed you to the place and he hasn't directed you anywhere else. And that's okay. You know, maybe some of you are supposed to be here for the long haul. Maybe some of you are supposed to be here for a time and a season, and then he'll direct you to another place. But the thing about it is, remember, the Lord is a director. All right? You know, he's the one who directs. Now you realize, I played in a band, in an orchestra before, and you have one director, and in my situation, it was a lady, and she directed the whole band. And sometimes when she wanted the tuba section to come in, she would go point over here. Sometimes she would point over there. But the thing about it is sometimes when we play, we sound like a train wreck because people are trying to direct themselves. You know, they're trying to keep their own timing instead of the timing that the director is trying to keep us in. You know, and that's what happens. You know, a lot of times that we don't see that in our spiritual world. We're like, yeah, but God, I have so much on the inside. I see, it's all about I. When it becomes about I, it's not about him. All right? It's never about I. Now, you know, everything that I do, you know, in my ministry, is all about the ministry here. It's about our ministry, not about my ministry. You know, it's about Rhema, because I feel I'm called to this place. This is my place, and this is where I'm called. And so I don't do anything that's going to better me. I do things that are going to better the ministry, because I know that I'm supposed to be here. You know, and so if you know where you're supposed to be, then it's a whole lot easier. Some people are trying to figure out what they're supposed to be, and they don't really know. But you know what? If you're here, then you're supposed to be here at this time and season. You know, because this is where you're supposed to be. You know, and even in, like I said, we just had Winter Bible Seminar last week. And Winter Bible Seminar, we always have homecoming as well. And, you know, sometimes people don't realize that this is where they're supposed to be for this week. And because they never come back to where they're supposed to be for that week, then they get way out. Well, I mean, they can't follow the plan they're supposed to be, because they're supposed to be somewhere for a 1 week to get some teaching and solidifying. And actually, one of Brother Hagin, before he passed away, the last thing he taught on was get with your own company. When things aren't going good, get back to your own company and refire and refresh. You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you just, when you don't know what to do, hang out with your own company. And Siri's trying to answer my question for whatever reason when I'm talking, thinks I'm talking to a stupid watch. You might have not have heard, but what she said was, I don't have an answer for that. Because Siri doesn't know where I'm supposed to be. You know.
Give me another chance.
Did you hear that? He said, give me another chance. That's crazy. Artificial intelligence was trying to take over the service here. And the fact was is that Siri realized I was talking about her. Anyway. The Lord directs our path. Not some kind of robot or anyone else. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I read this one quite a bit for different things. And it says this, trust the Lord with all your heart. Notice it doesn't say half your heart. You know, notice all your heart. You know what? Just give it all to God. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? You know, what are you saying? Well, God, I trust you that you're going to take care of me. That you're going to put me in the right place. Anyway, it says, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, it's important that, you know, I think the most important scripture here is to lean not to your own understanding. Because some people, while they're trusting God, they're like, really? God, you know, surely you don't know what you're doing. Now, we don't always say that out loud, but we think it. You know, and I've talked to many people who have come here to Bible school, and they've thought, really, I'm going to move from a beach to a broken arrow? But you know what? Later on, that might be the title of your book, From Beach to Broken Arrow. As you're writing your memoirs of what God's done to you, you know, because if you would have never got to the broken arrow, you could have never done what God wanted to do for you. And it's interesting, you know, thinking about just some things in life and historical things and to remember the story. Some of you maybe haven't even heard the story of a young boy named Rupert Bailey that used to pray about right here. You know, he was in his family farm, and he would come out here, and somewhere really close to where the podium is actually where we believe that he prayed. And the Lord showed him from this place, the nations would be changed. You know, and sometimes we don't realize, and I think that we started to realize it when we built the globe up there and dropped the globe and we see all these lights and understand, you know, Rupert Bailey was just a young man praying, and, you know, Rupert Bailey never went to Rhema. You know, and I don't know, you know, what he ever did in his life. But what I do know is that he put prayers out. And he prayed out the future. You know, when Rupert might have been praying that you would be here right now. You know, and it's interesting because sometimes that we believe that that we're not where we need to be because we think, well, you know, God called me to this country or that country, and maybe God called you to pray for this country or that country. Maybe God called you to support a missionary in this country or that country, and maybe he did call you to it. I don't know. But sometimes we misinterpret what God really has done because, you know, God didn't call Rupert Bailey to start Rhema and to have a Bible school. But I believe it wasn't for the foundation that he began, we never would have been here in this place. You know, and whenever he was praying, it wasn't, this auditorium wasn't here. And for many years, this auditorium didn't sit here. And even when Rhema started, many of you, you know, that came to school earlier on, this auditorium, until 1992, this auditorium never sat here. There was nothing at this place. You know, it was just an open field. You know, and, you know, he never knew that our plans were to eventually have an auditorium at this place. But you know what? We never know God's plans. And that's why we don't try to have to understand them ourselves. We just go along with the flow. We seek His will for our life. You know, and well, I'll get to that in a minute. Let me read some more scriptures, because I want to get through my scriptures before I go. Actually, I'll only go up one more scriptures. Romans chapter 12. Romans the 12th chapter. So we go to the New Testament. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The New Living Translation says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Then verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, when I was reading that, actually it wasn't until this afternoon when I was reading that, that I began to see something. It says, whenever we change the way we think, then God can direct our path. All right? Then we'll learn the will. Now, what does that mean? That means if you're trying to do things out of your own head, you're not following the will of God. It's whenever you've renewed your mind and you're not thinking about, you know what, I have an opportunity to go to a place and make twice as much money here. Twice as much money has nothing to do with the will of God. Or, you know, I have the place, you know, some of you maybe would say, well, I have the opportunity to go be a pastor over this many people and, you know, or sit in the pew here and just be a part of the congregation. Well, obviously God wants me to be a pastor. Yeah, but if He wants you to be a pastor, maybe He doesn't want you to be a pastor there. Because maybe by going there that you're going to go through some hardships He doesn't want you to go through, and that's not His plan. You know, His plan doesn't come from your own mind. It comes from whenever you lose your own mind and follow your heart. You know, and many times I've had people come and tell me, and they said, well, God told me something. Well, then I said, well, then why are you asking me my opinion? I said, because if you tell me God told you something, you really kind of put it in a box. It's hard for me to try to, I can't argue against God. Now, I've told some people, as they got older and bolder, I don't really believe God told you that. Because if God told you that, you would have never come and asked me something. You're asking me because you don't think it was God either, but that's what you wanted to do. And that's why we have to be careful. You know, because sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, and we don't realize the full picture. We're just kind of thinking about, well, this looks like a good step. You know, and it might be a good step. But, you know, we also learn to lead, to lean on the inside and you know, this thing called peace. If I don't feel peace, I don't do it. I've told people many times, you know, if I'm going to get on an airplane to go somewhere and I don't feel peace about it, I'm getting off the airplane. Yeah, but what if the airplane goes and it lands and nobody gets hurt? I guess I missed it. I'm still alive. You know, maybe God wanted me to minister to somebody at that airport. I don't know, because I'm there for another 3 or 4 hours waiting for another airplane. I don't know, but, you know, there's something about peace. You know, but here's what I found out. If you're frustrated, you can't think about peace because you don't even have peace. But maybe you need to shut your own mind out. You know, shut your mind, forget about what you're trying to think about, and just let Him be God. Now I'm going to get to what I want to talk about tonight. What God really, you know, wanted me to talk about. is your piece of the puzzle. I know, you know, my mom talked about that many times. And actually, it kind of really went to today because my dad sent me a picture of a puzzle they put together. My parents, for whatever reason, whenever they have off time, they put puzzles together. I guess they want to keep their mind working or whatever. And so it was a puzzle I gave them for Christmas. And this was a really good puzzle, probably one of the best puzzles ever put together, because it was a picture of Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas, you know. So it was a Cowboys Stadium that was, he said it was really hard, you know. So he showed me the picture of the puzzle he put together, and said it, you know, they spent a lot of time doing that. And my parents like putting puzzles together. I don't know why. It's something they do that relaxes them. You know, which is kind of interesting, because if you're putting the puzzle together, you still have to think. I relax better sitting in front of the TV not thinking about anything. Or sleeping. You know, but whatever. But interesting part about a puzzle, you realize, you know, and using the essence of we each have a piece. And I believe that you know, in the Christianity world, we each have a piece. And we're each a piece of the puzzle. And you know, it's real frustrating to put a puzzle together with a missing piece. And you're thinking about, where's that extra piece? Did it fall on the floor? Did it? But you know, and the picture's never complete if you're missing a piece. That's why it's always important for us all to plug in, because you each have your own piece, and you plug your piece in, and sometimes you don't realize how important your piece might be. But you realize in a puzzle, there is no head and tail. There is no up or down. I mean, you know, there's areas, but there's no piece that's better than the other piece. Interesting part about it is the Bible tells us is that, you know, there's nothing. I mean, you know, you might feel like you're not a big part, but it takes everybody together to make it work. You know, and I was just thinking the other night as we were having a healing service here, on Friday night, and people were getting healed. But you know what? If it wasn't for the ushers to be there to help out that situation, to get people lined up, people might not have been healed. Yeah, but I'm just an usher to church. What am I doing? I just point people to seats and wave at people and talk to people. You know, how could this be a good piece? Well, someone has to do it. Number one, And you know what? Everything is important. I tell the people that work here at the ministry, especially the people that work in what a lot of times we call the mail room, or we call it shipping and receiving. You know, they're the ones that actually fulfill the orders. So when someone orders a book or a CD or something, and they're the last ones to touch it before it goes out. And what you may or may not know is before they take the mail to the post office, they pray over it. You know, but interesting part about it, if they didn't exist, you would never get any material from our ministry. We could write books. You could call and order it. But, you know, if we didn't have the mail room, you would never get anything. You know, if we didn't have the people that work with the internet and stuff like that, you know, there'd be nothing online. If we didn't have the people that are working with the cameras here, we'd never be able to broadcast around the world. I'm just a cameraman. Surely God has a better place for me. Now here's the thing. I'm not saying that when you're at one piece, you might move up the ladder, so to speak, or move to another position, But you know what? If you're not faithful to where you are now, God's not going to promote you. You know what? I believe that each and every one of us, we need to plug in and be excited about what God has for us right now. And you'll say, well, yeah, but you know, I think we could, I wish we could do more things. You know what? Sometimes the reason a church can't do more things is because we got your piece, but there's about three pieces that need to be around you to help, you know, to go, to be a blessing. So maybe you need to pray for more pieces to come in. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, even here at the ministry, we're like, you know, we need to pray for somebody that can help us do this, or someone that can help us do that. And I think it is also interesting is sometimes that we don't even realize how important, you know, that we are. And I know yesterday as we're having our meeting there with the international directors, and we're thinking about, you know, how sometimes when you're doing your thing at your side of the world, that you don't realize that other people are working together. But whenever you come and you see globally how everyone around the world is working together to accomplish the same goal. And, you know, and so it's an amazing thing. And sometimes that we don't realize that what we're part of and what we're, you know, we don't even realize it. You know, and I think that the reason that my grandfather was so successful is because he didn't try to promote himself, but said, God, wherever you want me, that's where I'll be. You know, if he never became anything except for a Sunday school teacher, he would have been happy doing that because that's what he felt God had for him. And I think that, you know, too many people get frustrated and they're thinking, well, what am I doing? I mean, I just sing on the worship team. Well, you realize if it wasn't for the worship team to help enter people into the service, we wouldn't have some of the services we have. The worship team sets forth the atmosphere. And I tell you what, you don't think worship is very important? I'll take you some churches that don't have very good worship. And, you know, from a pastoral standpoint, man, it's really hard to preach after a train wreck. Can I get an amen from some of these ministers? I mean, one time I was a guest minister at a place, you know, and we had a special from some lady, and wasn't very special. In fact, I'd just rather preach after nothing. I mean, you know, I know they take up the offering, someone sang a special. I mean, it's pretty bad. You know, I can't sing, okay? Or, you know, I guess I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can sing. It's just not very entertaining for a lot of people. But I guarantee you I could have done a better job singing the special. You know, but praise God, you know, she had her peace. Maybe it wasn't singing, but, you know, she was there. You know, but worship is very important. Setting the atmosphere, getting people ready. You know, it's very important. And if I'm, you know, well, but I'm just there. You know, some people don't realize, but the fact of, you know, the greeters are really important, because if people come in this church and coming to find God and they don't feel welcome, then some people might not get saved because we didn't have good greeters. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's a lot of pressure right there. Did you realize some people come to a place to change their life, and because our greeters are frustrated? Or maybe you in the pew are frustrated, the guy that sits next to them or in front of them. How someone came to change their life, but because you were so frustrated, they couldn't. Sometimes we don't think about that. I mean, you know, and I know I probably think too much sometimes. But it is really, you know, sometimes we don't take things seriously. You know, and I know many times that we always say, hey, just plug in. Well, what do you mean by plug in? Plug your piece in. And you say, well, yeah, but you know, maybe I don't, you know, quit thinking about it and just plug in. You know what? I'm gonna be the best usher I can. I'm gonna be the best worshiper I can. I'm gonna be the best church member I can, or whatever. I'm gonna be the best prayer. You know, we have prayer groups. Many of you don't know this. We have prayer groups that meet, you know, every day, praying for all kinds of different things. In fact, we have a number of prayer groups that just pray for me. In fact, I think they're gonna have 20 more start next week, because I need. You know, it's interesting. One of the ladies, one of my former secretaries, she said, she goes, whenever she got the job working for me, she goes, Craig, it's really interesting that I ended up working for you, because I've been a member of a prayer group that's been praying for you for a while. And then it turned out that she ended up, you know, working for me, and she was such a blessing. In fact, I wish I had her back. I mean, she was, you know, she was such a blessing. I mean, we worked real well together for many, many, many years, and so God had another plan for her. But, you know, it's interesting. You started out praying for me and my, her specific prayer group was praying for me and my family. Not my family like my parents, but my individual family. And then she ended up working. And sometimes that God's kind of lays an area or people on our heart or get them, join a prayer group. We have a lot of prayer groups pray for a lot of things around here. And a lot of things you realize that, in order to do things, it starts with prayer. Remember I said Rupert Murdoch prayed a long time ago and we're now seeing fulfillment of his prayer. And it's so awesome to see what God's doing around the world. And you realize if it wasn't for Rupert Murdoch praying, I don't know if God could have done those things around the world. From our ministry perspective. And God has so many more things he's going to do. And he's going to use all of us. And we all work together and we all have a peace. And we all have a purpose. And we all have a peace in God's overall vision. I believe we all have a peace in Raymond's vision. Whether you're supposed to remain here or work with one of our schools or God has you go pastor a church or help with another church somewhere else that's doing the same thing. It's all a place. What am I saying? Don't get frustrated and just let God direct you. Don't try to direct your own path, but just quit thinking about it. What I always do each and every day, I've never asked to the Lord, said, God, you have to let me do this. No, I just, whatever God wants me to do, I never to do it. And we just do it. I never try to figure out something that God wants me to do or add to he just leads. He makes things work. And I had an opportunity years ago actually to when I was working here at this ministry. Someone offered me a job to be a pastor at another place, another city. And at that time, I was they offered me twice of what I was making here. That sounds really good to make twice what you're making, doesn't it? Actually, the city that they wanted me to be, he wanted me to go work with him, and he's going to plant me to a certain city, which I actually liked. I would like to live there. It would be a great place to live. But I didn't even really entertain it, seriously, because I knew that God wants me here. Why? Because many years ago that, the Lord called me and said, to follow after the footsteps of my grandfather and father. To fulfill the work that he has, for us to do. So if I know what I'm supposed to do, why do I want to go do something else? You know what, really, the biggest thing that frustrates me a lot of times when it's, I'm talking to people that go out from this place and they go out and say, well, I feel the Lord's leading me to a certain city. Then they come back and I'm like, well, I thought God led you to another city. Well, so either what happened was I guess they missed it. Or maybe they didn't miss it, but they went to the other city, and the devil was trying to stop them, and they just quit. I don't know. The point is that when God leads, follow. But make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. I understand many people will say, well, I'd love to have you on my team. Well, that's good, but maybe God doesn't want you to go be on that team. Not everyone's supposed to switch teams. Sometimes when you switch teams, we don't realize when you take a piece out of one puzzle and go to another puzzle. Now, first of all, you don't fit in over there. And then there's a hole over here. It's one of my things. Just be led. Just be led in life. Don't be frustrated, but just be led. God has a plan. He has a purpose. You know what? And I endeavor in life to fulfill his plan and purpose for my life. Not my plan and purpose, but his. It's never about me, always about him. Nothing's ever about me. Sometimes people come and they thank me for something that I've done. And I'm like, it wasn't me, it was God. It wasn't me. I have trouble even taking, they thank me, but I didn't do anything. I just delivered a message. Remember, God's in control. He's leading. He's guiding. He'll show you what to do. Quit getting frustrated. Quit leaning to your own understanding. Start renewing your mind, thinking on Him, then let Him direct your path. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for each and every person that's here. We thank You, Father, for people that are not here, but they're watching us online. And we thank You for people that will watch the service later on. And we thank You that You have a plan and a purpose for them. And Father God, we thank You that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. And Father God, we thank You that they won't be in their own head, but they'll be able to forget about what their thoughts are and lean to not to their own understanding, but trusting in You that You have that plan and that purpose for them. And we thank You, Father, that they will fulfill that plan. We thank You, Father, that they'll just let You lead them and guide them. And we give You the praise, honor, and glory. Amen, amen. Let's all stand. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for any reason, whether it be salvation and filling the Holy Spirit, healing or anything, we have some fine ladies and some gentlemen that are down here to pray with you. And so if you're a male, you need to go over here and see these gentlemen over here. If you're a female, you need to go over here and see these ladies, and they will pray with you. And I always let everyone know, if you don't know what you are and you don't know where to go, talk to one of these ushers here, and they'll direct you to the right place, all right? All right. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. We have the connection team, you know, in the aisle, and they want to take you and give you a gift that we have for you. And we thank you for coming tonight. We have service, you know, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. And if you're not here in town, we're always online, Facebook Live at Rhema Bible Church and rhema.tv. Amen? Amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose. So shake hands with two or three people, say, I'm going to follow God's plan, and you're dismissed.